Okay, we are holding three lines from the top of Nimbez Amud Aleph, the words of Rav Nassan. So now the Gemara was again discussing the issue of a Ben Eretz Yisrael who goes to Chutz La'aretz. Does he have to be machmir not to do malacha? Tosfos says even in private he shouldn't be doing any malacha. Really, that's halacha maisa. Is that Ben Eretz Yisrael is not allowed to do any malacha on Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galios when he goes back to visit? Even in private, he's not supposed to be doing malacha. Now says the Gemara, Rav Nassan Bar Asya Azam Be Rav the Padusa Yom Tov Sheni Shel Atzeres. Rav Nassan Bar Asya, he once traveled to the Beis Midrash in Pimpadis on the second day of Yom Tov, so he violated Yom Tov and he didn't keep the halacha. And what happened? Shamte Rav Yosef, and Rav Elisha points out he was Rav Nassan and he was also going to Beis Midrash, so he seemed to be a person who was a Talmud in Yeshiva. So he was a Ben Torah who did this, and Rav Yosef put him in Nidwe. He put him in Chayrim. He excommunicated him, which is a curse that he should die, and really very chamor things. Amalei Abaye says to Rav Yosef, "Vilanagde mar nagide." So why don't you give him malchus, hit him with lashes, instead of putting him in nidoy? Amar Lei, Rav Yosef responded, "Adifa vidalei." I gave him a more severe punishment for violating the halacha. Demarav aminu anigde devar beirav, because in the West, West always refers to Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, they give malchus to a person who's a ben yeshiva when he sins on a dinder of banan. Vilomi minashamte, and they do not put him in excommunication because excommunication is worse. It's going to be a chilul Hashem. They point out over here that it would be a chilul Hashem if he violates, if we give him such a harif punishment of excommunication. So we do less, and therefore we only give him the punishment of malchus. That's what the Neres Yisrael. But here, this guy was so chutzpahdik, mechutzav, to do this in front of everybody and to travel and to not keep Yom Tov Sheni. So therefore, we give him a very chomer punishment for the fact that he was so mavazed the halacha over here. We give him a very chomer punishment of putting him in excommunication, which is a very very chomer thing. We don't normally do that. It's interesting to note, but at the end of the day, we handed out as a Talmud Chacham. It wasn't just like a kid in yeshiva went off the derech lechora. So Rav Yosher just was bothered by this question. He says, "What in the world's going on over here? Why? What was his thought process?" Again, he knew that the Rabbanim didn't agree with him, but he shouldn't have done it at all. We see it was putting excommunication. But what was his thought process? Was he just simply just giving up Judaism and just going? He was going to the Beis Midrash. So Rav Yosher quotes the Or Sameach, and maybe this Rav's Havamina, again, we put him in excommunication, so it was very chumar, so he made a big mistake. But his Havamina was the following. We know that when it comes to Atzeres is Shavuos. So when is Shavuos? The Torah tells you it's 50 days after the Sfiras Omer. So we know it's totally on when the Yom Tov of Pesach is. So whenever the Yom Tov of Pesach is, 50 days later, is going to be the Yom Tov of Shavuos. And maybe I know exactly when Shavuos is, and then his thought process is, therefore, there wouldn't be an inyan of Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galios, because no matter when you assume Pesach is, that's going to be like that. Lamaisa, we don't know that, because we have a suffix, it's Sveika D'Yoma, on the first day of Pesach is anyway, so therefore the counting is also maybe is we still low pluk, and therefore we still hold that there with Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galios, obviously we hold that there's still second day Yom Tov on Shavuos, so that was an invalid thought process. So that, and he was put in Nidui and very similar things when he was very punished. The Gemara continues, Ika De'Amei, there are those who say a different version, a similar outcome, not there of Yosef. If Yosef actually gave him Malchus, he gave him lashes. With this person who violated Yom Tov, Amar Le Abaye, which Abaye said, "Nishamtei man, why don't you put him in excommunication?" The Rav Shmuel Tevar Abaye, "Na'adin al shnei yamim tovim shel galios." Someone who violates the Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galios, he violates any part of that halacha, he is going to be put in Chayrim. We put him in excommunication for that. We see over here a person violates in Dinu Darabon. It's very chumrah. In that case, the Shulchan Aruch points this out in Siman Tav Tzadik Vav. The Shulchan Aruch Tzif Beis over there, he talks about how in that respect, Mishnah Berurah, they talk about how in that respect, Yom Tov Sheni is a little bit more chumrah than Yom Tov Rishon. If a person violates a Din Darabanan and Yom Tov Rishon, then he's not going to be put in Chayrim. However, if he violates the Din Darabanan and Yom Tov Sheni, since that's like he's being mevaza Yom Tov Sheni, we put him in Chayrim. We put him in excommunication. So the Gemara says, Amar Lei. So Yosef responded to Abaye, Hani Mili Inish to Alma. So that, when do we put someone in excommunication? That's a regular person. Hacha Tzurban Rabbanan. At the end of the day, this was a Talmud Chacham, a young Talmud Chacham that made this mistake and did something very, very wrong. The Tava Le'avida. So I'm not going to be as machmer on him. I'm going to be something better for him. Meaning, I'm not going to be as chamer on him. I'm not going to be so so give him such a harsh punishment. Because in Eretz Yisrael, they give a yeshiva guy who makes a mistake like this and on purpose, who violates this halacha, they give him malchus, they give him lashes, as opposed to excommunication. They're not as chamor as giving excommunication, so therefore I wanted to go easy on him also and not excommunicate him. Okay, now we're up to the next part of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that we had the din of kayotze bo, hamolech peros shvi'is, makom shakala, makom shalokala. Getting back into the sugya here, just to remind ourselves, the halacha is that when something is kala, when something is no longer available in the fields, and you brought it into your house, let's say it's strawberries, so there's no longer strawberries available, and if you eat strawberries, the whole there's not a problem of bugs, maybe it's a bad example, oranges. So you have oranges in your house, and it's no longer available in the street, so the halacha is, that's called biur, it's a din b'hashas, the Rishonim hold that this is a din d'oraisa, you have to go out and be mafkir your oranges. There's a shayla in the Rishonim, the big machlokas about this. Does that mean I have to get rid of it completely and burn it and get rid of it? That's how I think, I forgot who, the Rambam and the Rav, I remember discussed this, Ramban, all the Rishonim talk about what you have to do. Do you have to get rid of it from the world? That's one sheet in Rishonim. And the other sheet in Rishonim is no, it's just I put it on my front lawn or I put it in front of my, on the street, and anyone who wants to come and take it over whatever it is, the next 24 hours, overnight, that is the halacha that it's going to be hefker. They'd be fully allowed to take it. It's theirs. I put a sign hefker, and if nobody takes it, I have a right to then bring it back into my house. That's what's called biur. That's the machlokas Rishonim. We actually hold like that. We hold like the more mekel shita. In ourselves, we're gonna have a Shemitah next year, so a lot of these halachas are gonna come up again. So this is the halacha with regards to, that's the shav. So if you're going from a place, shalokalu, where it had not finished, makam shalokalu, makam shakalu, in both those situations, since you, where I left, it was now the place I'm gonna be, there's no longer available, so then I have to do the beer, I have to be mafkirat as well. Or if where I was, I had to be mafkirat, and I went to somewhere that is not mafkirat, then I also have to be mafkirat. And Rabbi Yehuda responded with a vague statement, that's what the Gemara is analyzing right now. Rabbi Yehuda's lashon was that we say to him, go and bring it for yourself. So what was he saying? To who is responding? What's going on over here? So Gemara says, "Belaisle Rabbi Yehuda had a son." So in the Havin right now, we're assuming Rabbi Yehuda is not going to hold of the concept that we just said in the Mishnah previously. The Mishnah says, "Nosin alav chumre makom sheyotze misham v'chumre makom shehalach l'sham," that we give him the chumras, the more machmir, a more stringent opinion of whatever place he was going to, which place he's gone. So Tanakama said that if you have a new person in a place where the Shemitah has run, the whatever oranges, let's say, has run out, so the halacha is you have to, if you are now in a place where there's nothing available, the halacha is that you have to take it out on a bimafgirat as well. That even if where you were, even from the hometown that you were in, that way was still available. Rabbi Huda is telling us that he holds that since the new person can tell the people that you can go to my town, go to the area that I was in and it's available, so then since he's telling them that it's still available where I am, that is not going to create machlokas over here. Rabbi Huda is implying that when there's not an issue of machlokas, then there's no concern about listening to the minhag hamakom. However, that is very problematic because the Mishnah just said that where in a place of makom shenagu, where the place where they shelo lasos malacha on erev Pesach, to a place where there is an issur to do malacha on erev Pesach, that we are machmir. Even though it would not be lead to machlokas if he decides to work, we're going to be machmir on that. So lechora, that's against the first part of the Mishnah. That's how Rashi explains the Gemara. So Gemara says, Amar Rab Shisha Brei Rab Idi. Rab Shisha Brei Rab Idi explains Milsach Risi Kam Rabbi Yehuda actually is not responding in the way that you thought to the Tanakhama, but he's saying it differently. This is what the Tanakhama was saying. This was a response. Omi Makom Shalokav. If someone was taking Shemitah produce from a place where they didn't run out yet, and so there are oranges available, let's say, lamakom shalokalu, to a place where they, lamakom shalokalu, and oranges are still available in the other place as well. So a guy goes from Tzfas to Yerushalayim, I'm specifically choosing Tzfas because that's going to be in the Galil. We're going to see there's three Aratzos, there's three main areas. There's Galil, there's Yehuda, and there's Eivar Yarden. So if a person goes from Tzfas to Yerushalayim, let's say, or outside Yerushalayim, whatever, a place over there, in Modi'in, so then he's in Eretz Yehuda, so then, and then he finds out that in Tzfas there's no longer oranges available. Chayev Levar, the halach of the Tanakhama, is that the halach of the Tanakhama, he's being machmir, that even though when he first had it, it was mutter, and now where he went, it's also mutter, but now since it's no longer available in the place he actually was, you have a chumrah of the actual minhag hamakom of where you were in Tzfas, and you still have to follow that halach, even though when you went, it was heter gamar. And Rabbi Yehuda responds, Rabbi Yehuda omer, tzev aveh lecha afata mehechi de'esnino. So Rabbi Yehuda is responding to them and saying, no, go bring it for yourself. Meaning, go where I brought mine, in my town, Velo Kodiluhu. Where the town where I was, I took it up Beheter Gamor, and even now it's still Beheter Gamor in the town that I'm in. So he's telling him that that's not a violation of the Minag HaMakom, because when I took it out, it was totally mutter, and Yehuda thinks that it's totally fine. So this theoretically would have been a good explanation of the Mishnah's interpretation. However, the Gemara has another problem with this. The way that you're explaining it, Rabbi Yehuda is actually coming out with the leniency. The Tanakhama is saying it's usher for him to continue having those oranges, even though he's currently in Modi'in, let's say, and not in Tzfas, where there's no longer oranges available. But that's a problem, because Rabbi Yehuda is saying that it is okay. However, we have a Masorah from Rabbi Elazar, but Rashi points out it was a Masorah that Rabbi Elazar had. Lo Amar Rabbi Yehuda Ela L'Chumra. Rabbi Yehuda is saying his halacha only as a Chumra and not as a Kula. That's the Masorah that Rabbi Elazar had within Rabbi Yehuda. So therefore, you can't explain the Mishnah this way. So therefore, the Gemara has to come on to a different explanation. Ela Ipach, rather, you should reverse the explanations in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Enu Chayv Levar, that the one who's transporting Shemitah from a place where it was, again, there was oranges available to a place where they have also were not available. Then he found out that they had been gone in Tzfas. Let's say there's no more oranges available in Tzfas in our example. He's going to be chayev to remove them. This lenient ruling is going to be the opinion of the Tanakhama. So this is Lakula now, this Kula of the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yehuda says, Rabbi Yehuda's Omer Tzevave Lecha Afata Meichadisni. Rabbi Yehuda's responding that go out and bring out more from where you brought it from the original place, Lakalalu. The original place where you were in Tzfas is no longer available. So Rabbi Yehuda's actually responding Lachumra that you should be Machmir, and therefore you're going to be Machmir, and therefore you're no longer allowed to have these oranges, even in Modin right now where it's available, because where you were originally, it's fast, it's no longer available, and you have to be Machmir to the original place where you were. So the Gemara suggests another answer. Abaye Amar La'olam Ke Dekatani. The Rabbi says, now maybe you can assume that the Tanakhama Rabbi are really arguing a case where the two cities are different with regards to actually what was available initially, meaning in one place it was, in one place it wasn't. The Halchi Kamar, and this is what the Mishnah is saying. Oh, Mimakam Shalo Kalu, Mimakam Shakalu. So again, I'm going from Tzfas, where the oranges were available, and now I'm in Modi'in, where it is not available. Vechzira Lamakam Vadayin Lo Kalu. And now I brought back the Shemitah produce to the same place where I was. I went to Tzfas, I went to Modi'in vacation. I didn't realize nobody had oranges in Modi'in, so therefore I had to get rid of them. But I'm going back anyway to Tzfas. So Eino Chayv Levar. So the Lacha of the Tanakhama is that I'm not going to be Machmer on that situation. I'm allowed to have the oranges when I'm back in Tzfas because it's still available in the streets and everybody still has it and it hasn't reached the zman of bira of having to remove it and be mafkir it. Rabbi Yehuda says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Tzev, Avela Chapata Meichadisinu, go out from where the original crop is now. Val Kalulu, and at the end of the day, they are no longer available. Rabbi Yehuda holds that since they've been taken to a place where they were no longer available, they're going to lose their status when you brought them there, and therefore they lost that status. Even though you're bringing them back, it's still usher to have those oranges right now, and that is the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara is the Ravashi is not happy with this. Maskev Ravashi. Ravashi has a kasha on this explanation. Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Atu Agaba Dechamra Katinu, are the crops being back, are being brought literally on a donkey that's literally absorbing them? Meaning, we're telling over here, you're telling me that once you bring them to the town that's not available, it loses its status of oranges that were available in Tzfas. At the end of the day, they were available when you first left, and they're still available in the town that you're going back to. Why would that be? The fact that I brought them into one area was no longer available. Why does it change its status? It can't be that Rabbi Yehuda would ever hold this way. It can't be anyone should hold this way. Ravashi is very bothered on the svar, and the explanation doesn't make sense. So Ravashi therefore gives a different explanation. Ela Marvashi beplukta tahani tnai. That really the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda are taking sides in a different machlokas that we're familiar with. This none. We have a mission. Which says Hakovesh Losha Kivashim Bechavis Echad. If someone is pickling three different types of vegetables in one barrel, so therefore, meaning, let's say Rashi says you're doing it with either like something like vinegar or brine, you're pickling them together. So the halacha is that we know when it comes to kavash kibavushal, there's a lot of halachas in Yerida. We get to discuss this. Is that when someone pickles something together, we assume that the flavor is imparted into each of those things. So let's say I have cucumbers, carrots, and cucumbers, carrots, and tomatoes, and I pickle them together. So the halacha is that really the flavor of all three of those things are going to go into each other. The Mishnah is actually talk about if one of those things are usher, one of those things are truma. What's going to happen over here? For this purpose, though, what the shaila that's going to come up is what happens when it's the time of beer for one of those. So let's say it's the time there's no cucumbers are no longer available. So I still have what's the halacha with the cucumber? Also, what with the tomato and with the carrot? Because because the tomato and the carrot have some flavor from the cucumber in halachically. So what's going to be the halacha? So if I have shlosha kevashim mechavis echad, so if I'm pickling three vegetables in one barrel, Rabbi Lezer omer ochlin al harishon. Rabbi Lezer says that you can eat all three of them. You have to be the most machmir, and as once the first one is no longer available, let's say cucumbers are no longer available, then I have to get rid of all three and be mafka them and do the process of biur for even the tomatoes and carrots in our example. Rabbi Yeshua omer af ala achron. Whereas Rabbi Yeshua says that we could put all three, and you could be mekil to even have the last one, as long as, let's say, so in our example, cucumbers are no longer available, even tomatoes are no longer available, carrots are the last one to be available, but they're still available on the streets, I can still be mekil and have all three, not have to be mafkin. And why is that? Because he learns out that at the end of the day, since part of the flavor of the carrots is remained in the other two products, in the tomato of it in our example, and also in the cucumber. So since there is partial flavor of that, so they're not fully considered kala, they're not considered totally something that's not available, because at the end of the day, they have some of the carrot in them. So since they have some of the carrot in them, halachically, says Rashi, then they're not considered kala, they're not considered completely not available, and therefore you can be mekil. Rabbi Gamliel says, kol shekala mino minasada yivar mino minachaves. Rabbi Gamliel says that as each one, we should go after each one, even though they're imparting flavor to each other, each one is separate. Cucumber is viewed as a cucumber, so whenever cucumbers are available, you have to get rid of the cucumber. Same thing with tomato. Whenever tomatoes are not available, you go after the tomato. And it doesn't matter that each one is going flavor into the other. It doesn't matter. And whenever carrots are available, you go into the carrots. So now, how are we lining this up? So according to Ravashi, the Tanakama Avra Mishnah is going to agree with Rabbi Yeshua, and Rabbi Huda is going to be agreeing with Rabbi Gamliel. The Tana agrees with Rabbi Yeshua because he's saying that at the end of the day, we're telling you that even though some produce is the flavor goes into it, so then it's not considered all kalu. It's not considered totally unavailable. And the implication is if that the whole thing disappeared from the field, then the entire mixture is going to be. However, if some of it is available, they're going to still be eaten. Rabbi Yehuda is going to hold that's the shita of the Tanakama lining up with Rabbi Yeshua, and then we're going to have Rabbi Yehuda is going to be more machmir. He's going to hold that when it comes to according to Rabbi Yehuda, he's going to say that when it comes to the owner of the barrel, we're going to say, go out and find any of the species. That's going to be like Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel says, no, we go after each one individually. You don't have the right to be mekel on all three and say that you go after the last one. Rather, when the cucumbers are unavailable, you have to bring in the cucumbers. And that's going to line up very nicely with Rabbi Yehuda, that Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yehuda are going to line up very nicely together. V'alacha kedvarav, the Mishnah just happens to end off. The lacha follows Rabbi Gamliel. It's very interesting. When the Mishnah ends off, v'alacha kedvarav, it's fascinating. The Rambam tells us the rule that the Gemara tells us we don't pass like Mishnayos. And the Rambam writes that that's going to be in the Parish of Mishnayos. Rambam says that that's even where the Mishnah says halacha kedvar. Here it happens to be, we do pass in the Rambam, but there are other examples where a Mishnah will say, I think it's the Mishnah of Payam, from what I'm remembering, that there's a certain Mishnah over there, always struck me as very interesting. There's a certain Mishnah where the Gemara says, the Mishnah says halacha kedvarav. And the halacha is not like that way, because it was against the normal rules. I think maybe it was Rameir, whatever it was, one of the rules that we normally have, that we don't pass in like Rameir versus anyone else. So it was one of those rules. And we don't paskin like it. So when the Mishnah says halacha gemara, it's lav dafka is going to be that. That's going to be the halacha. So here it happens to be the halacha is that way though. Now the Gemara continues. The Gemara says Ravina Amar. So again, so this is another explanation how you can explain what Rabbi Yehuda was responding in the Mishnah. Ravina says peplukta dahani tonight. The Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda are arguing over a different argument. It's not. We learn in a brisa, which really. It's really maybe Disani because it might be a Bryce over here. The Rosh Hashanah changes the girsa. So either way, whatever the girsa is, Ochle b'tmar. So you're allowed to eat the dates of a palm tree in Eretz Yehuda ad shichla achron shebitzohar until the last palm tree in Tzohar it has been removed. So now what is going on over here? So Rashi already is going to introduce us. What we're going to see on the next Amud over here is that really there's three areas for biur. That's what I mentioned before, that there's Bnei Yehuda, there's Eretz Yehuda, there's Galil, and there's Eber HaYarden. And the halacha is, the halacha tells us that once the all of Yehuda is one region, one area, so that whole area, if any orange tree, let's say, or in this case, a dates, if any dates are available anywhere in that whole region, everyone in that region is allowed to be Mekel and not have to be Mafker their Peros yet. And the same thing regards with the north, with the Galil. And the same thing with Eber HaYarden, each one is individual, but let's say if it's available in the north, but it's not available in the whole Yehuda area, then the people in Yehuda have no right to be Mekel because of the north, because we divide it up into three places. And Gemara is going to explain where we got that from. So over here is talking about this area that everyone can be Mekel. You can have it in all of Eretz Yehuda for Tzohar because that's the last one to have fruit, and you're allowed to be Mekel over here. Rabban Shimon Gamliel Omer, turning on to the next step. But now he says, Ochlin al shel ben hakifin. We're allowed to eat based on the area of only the area that's available in between the palm branches. If ein ochlin neshibin hashitzin, we're not allowed to eat them on the area between the thorns. Apparently, this thorn area, because animals are never going to eat it there. It was very, very hard to get to. Even humans wouldn't take the produce from there because it's very thorny, and obviously you get injured by that. So animals also didn't bother taking those dates. So therefore, according to we have over here, we have Rabbi Gamliel says that you can have on Ben Akifin and Ein Ochlin on Ben Ashitin. However, the Tanakama holds that you would be able to have even on Ben Ashitin. So therefore, Ravina's understanding that the Tanakama of our Mishnah, which is holding like the Tanakama of the Breisa, is telling you that Kala means completely, even in like the situation where it's totally thorny, there is not considered Kala yet. So our Tanakama would also hold that as long as dates are present between the thorns, even though it's very hard to get to them, you can assume that it's still not the zman of beer. However, Rabbi Yehuda is responding, go to the palm trees and go get them, meaning nobody's able to go get them. Even humans don't like to go get them. Since nobody's gonna go get them, then obviously you have to be machmir. And that's similar to the situation with the Shitzin over here, that he's going to hold like Rabbi Gamliel. That's what's going according to Ravina. Rabbi Yehuda is going to be machmir, and that's a very good explanation of how to explain the machlokas. Now the Gemara continues discussing the laws of biur. The Gemara says Tanas, and we learn in the Mishnah shlosh eretz lebiur. So this, as I mentioned, the Rashi gives us a preview already of this is going to be the lacha. That there's three different areas, three regions for the lachas of getting rid of your produce when it's no longer available in the field. So what's considered no longer available in the fields? All of Eretz Yisrael? No, the lachas we divide into three areas: Yehuda, Ve'eriyada, and Galil. Yehuda and the area of the Transjordan and the Galil. It's usually understood as the north. These are three distinct regions, and seemingly that this is a masura that's deraisa, because in the beer we mentioned is alacha deraisa. So if I'm allowed to continue eating because a certain area that I consider in my area is available, but not because of the north, so then lachora, I was assuming that maybe this is an example of masur nakasav lachachamim. Maybe this pasuk that we're going to be Dorish in a minute, Lechora is the Rabbana have the ability to establish what the boundaries of that are going to be. As we're going to see in a moment, the Gemara says, V'shalosh arzatzu b'cholachazaz, and actually within those, there's a subcategory of three different lands within those regions. Rashi points out that you have like mountains, you have regular land, you have valleys. Those three areas are going to be a subdivision of the three areas, meaning that within Yehuda, let's say, you have mountain areas and you have valley areas. So those halachas, those areas are considered different. Rashi says, la halacha, though, those areas don't matter at all. Because in the mountain region, it's not available whatsoever. But in the valley, it is, says Rashi, it doesn't matter. They're all considered Eretz Yehuda, and they're all going to be available, they're considered available. You don't have to get rid of those produce yet. However, Tosfos disagree with that. Tosfos says that why would the Gemara going out of its way to tell us this if it's not, that there's a subcategory, if it has no halachic significance. So Tosfos think that it would matter marry what area you're in. If it's no longer available at all in the area of land that you are, let's say you live in a mountain area, there's no available tamarim, let's say, dates anymore whatsoever, so then that would be lechora a problem of fitosos. Now the Gemara continues with lama amru shalosh aratzos labir. So the Mishnah says, though, why did they say there's three lands for getting rid of it? So the Gemara says, shiu ochlin b'chol achas v'achas, to teach you and the people may eat Shemitah produce in each one of the three main lands. Ad Shiichla Akron Sheba, until the last one in the land is done, and therefore if it's no longer available, that's the point. So that's the Mishnah is telling you that three things are going to have the halacha for beer, that they're going to be three separate areas. Now, Minan Amila, so the Gemara says, how do I know that there's three separate areas? How do I know that there's this concept that you can only rely on the area that you're in, the region that you're in for beer when things are considered no longer available? So the Gemara says, Amar Mechamar Mechvar Mechanina Markra Uvileva Heptecha Vilechaya Asher Baratzecha. The pasuk says it should be for animals and for the chayas, which are non-domestic animals that are in your land. The Gemara, the psukim is comparing someone's regular animals to the chayos to teach us the following. Kozman shechayo cheles min asada, as long as the chayah, non-domesticated animal, is able to eat the Shemitah produce in the field, you can also feed the animals in your house and also eat your own fruit in your house. However, so this is the drasha, which again, most Rishonim assume is the reisa, that once the Shemitah produce is no longer available in the fields, so also you have to get rid of it in your house as well. And we have a mesora, Rashi says, from Avosinu, from our forefathers, that apparently the non-domesticated animals does not live on produce that is in the Galil. It doesn't go that far. So therefore, this region that we're dividing is the Mesorah, how to explain these psukim. And the same thing with a non-domestic animal doesn't travel so far to go to Eretz Yehuda, and that is why we divided the halachic Eretz Yisrael into three different categories, la'inyan biur, of removing the Shemitah produce. So the Gemara continues, the Gemara says, so Tanur Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa, Perish Yotzim Eretz Yisrael l'chutz la'aretz. If you have Perish that left Eretz Yisrael to to outside of Eretz Yisrael, and then the Zman of Bura came about. So what's the halacha? Mizbar mechol makom shehen, they should be removed in whichever area they are. Rabban Shimon ben Elazar says, Rabban Shimon ben Elazar says, Yavzolim koman vizbar. No, they have to be brought to Eretz Yisrael and be removed over there. Mishum shenemar be'artzecha, because the pasuk says, be'artzecha, specifically in your land. The pasuk is telling you to bring them back in Eretz Yisrael. It's implying that the Shemitah produce should be back in an area where it was originally from, meaning Eretz Yisrael, be'artzecha, in your land. So the Gemara continues, Havkasta, but wait a second. According to Rabban Shimon ben Elazar, we already learned be'artzecha. La'artzecha was the drasha to teach you that be'artzecha meant that we divided the lands into three different regions to tell you which halachas apply to which one. That when it comes to Eretz HaGalil, it's going to be different than Eretz Yehuda, and Eretz Yehuda is different than Eivor Yarden. That was what we used artzecha. So the Gemara really says, Kari be be'aretz. No, if I wanted only one drasha, I could have said be'aretz. If it was written in your land, I would have learned that we should divide the land into wherever it's available in the area that you're in, the region that you're in. I would have learned that same halacha. Be'artzecha, Rashi points out, is a double inclusion. There's a double riboy. There's two things included in be'artzecha. So therefore, since it's a double riboy, I'm allowed to be dorish two different things from it. And that's why Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is able to be dorish that at the end of the day, you have to bring it back to Eretz Yisrael. The beer has to be brought, if you take it out to Chutz Eretz, you have to bring it back to Eretz Yisrael. And the second part, that there's three different regions for the halachas of Shemitah. So the Gemara says, Inami me'asher be'artzecha. Or you can give another explanation. Now we're talking asher, that means that they are in your land. That is what we're assuming from Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. The Gemara continues. The Gemara says that a maisa that happened that was about the machlokas of Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. The Gemara says, Rav Safra nafik me'eretz Yisrael l'chutz la'aretz. So Safa once left Eretz Yisrael to go to chutz la'aretz, and with him have had garba techam d'shvias, and with him he had a barrel of Shemitah wine. The shaila is, the Mishnah in Shvias seems to say explicitly that it's usher to take Shemitah produce out of Eretz Yisrael. It's kadosh, just like when it comes to, in a certain form, Rav Yashu compares it, that just like when it comes to kachim, you can't take it out of Yerushalayim. So this Shemitah is also very kadosh, and you shouldn't be taking it out of Eretz Yisrael. That's what the Mishnah tells us. So how in the world is this going to be mutter to take it out of Eretz Yisrael? So the Tosos over here asks this question, and the Tosos says that I can only take it out, mahasamayri la'achila, taking it out only if I was purpose of eating it. Rasafra was taking it to sell it. The Yesh Chora Shemurteris, so that there is certain sales that I'm allowed to have, throw it to base or whatever it might be, to sell it, in which case that would not be an issue of taking Shemitah produce outside of Eretz Yisrael. So the Chazon Ish was very bothered by that gears of the Tosfos. It says, how could it be that when it comes to selling it out, you don't have a problem? The opposite should be true. If he's eating it, he has different cheshbonos why that should be, and he wants to flip the whole gears. But he also just points out that was the gears of the Tosfos Rush, and that was the gears of Tosfos Shvan. So Chora, the way that the Tosfos we have it is the way the Tosfos meant to say it. You could ask Akasha on Tosfos, but Lamaisa, that is how the Tosos should be read, that maybe for sale purposes might not be as bad of a fee Tosos. Lamaisa, though, this is a very big shaila. Taking Shemitah produce out of Eretz Yisrael is a very big problem. And that leads to very big shailas that come up, and next year is not going to be an issue because it's too early that we're going to get to pick all the produce before Shvias. But 2 years from now, when it comes to all the esrogim you're going to have, those are going to be Shvias esrogim. So how is it that you're allowed to bring them to Chutz La'aretz? So that's a very big shaila. So there's a Rav Moshe has a tshuva about this. Rav Moshe says that maybe if it's only for the purpose of a mitzvah, then there might be a heter. Rav Yashu says that maybe at the end of the day, they're done for schora. At the end of the day, you're selling them. We're going to get the whole method of the Otzer Beis and how that works and why it's allowed to be sold. That's a whole other shaila. But Lamaisa, since you're allowed to have it, so then Rav Yashu says that maybe that's the heter. But if it's the schora, though, Rav Yashu understands in the Rest of Tosos that you should bring it back. That you should be bringing back to Eretz Yisrael. I think there are those who are machmer for that. That people do try to bring back their esrogim back to Eretz Yisrael after Sukkot, if they buy esrogim from Eretz Yisrael that were Shemitah esrogim. Another big problem is wine. Actual wine, they have certain achsherim that will give. Usually the better ones will be machmer not to allow them to go to Chutz La'aretz, but they'll sell otzer based in wine of Shemitah in Chutz La'aretz. So how do you get around the biur and the fact that you had to get rid of it and do the biur process? Who knows that they probably didn't do the biur or mafkir at any point. So don't you have a chiyuv of yourself to be mafkir? That's a whole shaila. I remember, I think once Rabbi Leibowitz Shlita had a temin halacha discussing this. I think one year the kehila accidentally had the otzer based in one, so he actually thought that everyone should. And I think Lamaskani came out that everyone should put it on in the front by the sidewalk and be mafkir it for one night. And if nobody takes it, then they can bring it back in to do the biur afterwards. Okay, but that's a fascinating shaila that comes up. The Gemara says, "Lava ba'ade Rav Huna breder Rav Ikav Rav Kahana." So Rav Huna and Rav Ikav Kahana were with him. Amr lo, so when it comes to the biur, Rav Safra asked him, "What should I do? Ikav Dishmilai Menai the Rabbi Abau. Is anyone who heard from Rabbi Abau what I should do? Halacha Rav Shimon Elazar Olo, meaning the halacha father of Shimon Elazar or not? Do I have to bring it back to Eretz Yisrael?" whether that's going to be Rabbi Shimon Elazar, or like, I don't need to like the Tanakhamas. Like, Marzi Amalai Rav Kahana, Rav Kahana said to him, Halachi Amar Lu Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Abba said, Halachi Rabbi Elazar, Halachi Rabbi Shimon Elazar, Halacha does follow Rabbi Shimon Elazar. Amar Lei, Rav Huna, Braid Rav Ika, Rav Huna said back to Rav Safra, Halachi Amar Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Abba says, In Halachi Rabbi Elazar, no, follow Tanakhama. Amar Rav Safra then said back to him, Nakura Kala de Rav Huna Biadecha. I trust Rav Huna. Because in this regard, because he knows how Rav Shimon Elazar holds the Dayak Vigamar Shmaitan Bepun Rabbi, he would ask his teacher, always Rashi says, to repeat it to make sure he has the halacha clear. Just as Rechava did in Pupaziza, he would know the halacha very, 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 very clearly. Damar Rechava, Rav Yehuda, Harbay Stav Kaful Hayav. Rechava always said in the name of Rav Yehuda, so he was careful to explain what Rav Yehuda said so carefully. He used to call it Harbay Stav Kaful Hayav. So the fact that he called it a Stav, as opposed to Rav Yehuda pointed out, as opposed to Itztava, it should have been Lashon would have been Itztava, but he was so careful to repeat exactly what his Rebbe said. That's another example of someone who's careful to know how his Rebbe paskin. Stav Lifnim is Stav. That's a row of benches within a row of benches. That is, because again, when it comes to Gedolim, even nowadays, it happens all the time that you could misunderstand from one word or one letter what Reb Chaim said differently, or Reb Nevin Salshit did a lot of Gedolim. It's hard to understand them sometimes, so you have to be very careful to understand the correct fact. So that was the Gemara was saying, therefore, Rav Safra liked Rabbi Abba's explanation. So the Gemara said that this is the more meikel one. The Gemara says, Kare Aler Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef was unhappy with this. He said, Ami Be'etzel Yishal Maklo Yagilo. He's a lashon of the Pasuk says that people were looking for his wood and declaring Rada and declaring onto it. So Gemara is Kolam Mekil Lo, so he has a plain words over here that means that not Maklo Yagila, rather Kolam Mekil Lo, that whoever is ruling Lakula is for him Magilo. He's going to declare that person and be choshev him. He's going to say, oh Shkoyach, whoever was Mekil, I'm going to follow that opinion. He's like giving his chastising him for always being Mekil with regards to this halacha because he was unhappy that he was being Mekil. The Gemara continues. The Gemara says, Rav Eli cuts Knafei the Shvias. Rav Eli, he chopped down a palm tree that had Shemitah date berries on it. So the Rishonim to deal with the other problem. Isn't it a problem about Hashchis, getting rid of a tree that has fruit on it? So they point out that there are certain heterim. If there's only a small amount of fruit, or if the wood is more valuable than the fruit, then that's not an issue of Baltashkos. So there's no issue of Baltashkos over here, but there's another problem. The Gemara asks, though, Hechi Adecha, there's another problem, La'achla Marachmana V'lola Efsid, that the Torah tells you when it comes to Shemitah that you should eat it and not destroy it. Is that a full-fledged mitzvah? The Ramban is a famous Shita. He thinks that it is a mitzvah to have Shemitah produce. That's why those are very into Otzer Beistin in Eretz Yisrael, because the Gupa say it's the only mitzvah of Kedusha. We can't have Truma, we can't have Meiser, we can't have Meiser Sheni, we don't do any of those things any day. But it's Manazeh, if you're able to do the Otzer Beistin, again, not gonna know how it works, but if you're able to create such a thing, it's a mitzvah to have it. Okay, there are halachas, you should be careful with them, but to be able to have Perish Shvias is a very big thing. It's Kadosh. So the Gemara says, so you have to eat it, and you're not allowed to destroy it. You're not allowed to get rid of it. That's the halach also. Like, if you have wine that's also based in Eretz Yisrael, let's say, you can't even Motzei Shabbos, let's say we have the siman tov to spill it out on Motzei Shabbos and to dip our eyes and whatever, you can't do that, because that's a hefsid. You have to only drink it. You have to be very careful. If it spills, it's a very big problem. If you leave a half a cup over, it's a problem. You're not allowed to get rid of it at all. You have to be very careful not to destroy any Shemitah produce. The Gemara says, V'chitema, so how did he destroy the fruit tree over here? V'chitema, so now the Gemara is going to suggest an option and reject it. V'chitema, hanami lehecha denachil apira. Maybe you could say that's only where the fruit fully develops. Here he topped down the tree before it's his man, where it's fully developed. Aval hecha denachil apira lo, but where it's not fully developed, you don't have to be machmir. The Gemara says, V'amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Baravua, Rav Nachman said in Rav Baravua, hanay meschilid arla asire, the husks over the dates so it's a very early stage of the dates, they're going to be Aser Mitzad Orla. Why? How will Vinasu Shomer Lapir? Because they become a protector of the fruit. But Shomer Lapir, Emas Havi. So when do we consider that be a Shomer Lapir? Bechufrei, when they are small, immature dates, when they're very, very early on, right? Early on in the ripening process, they're still going to be considered dates. Bekakar Lapir, yet Rav Nachman calls them, still he calls them halachic fruits. So we see for the halach of Orla that we call that fruit La'inian Orla. So the same thing by Shemitah, we should call these fruits, even though, albeit they're very early on stage of the fruits, they should still be problematic. So the Gemara says, the Gemara wants to defend Rabbi Eli. The Gemara says, Rav Nachman, the Amar Rabbi Yosef. Wait a second. Rav Nachman, he was following one Shita in Tanayim. And not only that, that Shita was actually a Shita of Rabbi Yosef, who is a Das Yachid against the Tanakhama. That's not Rabbi Yosef, Omer, Smadar, Asim Neshu Peri. That a great bud, it's a very early stage. Also, similar idea of the Tamar over here, is a very early in the grapes development, is this bud of the grapes. It's going to be Asir, Mitzad Orla. However, Figir Rabban Eliyahu, the Rabbanan, who represent the Tanakhama of that Mishnah, disagree with Rabbi Yosef. So we see that Rabbi Nachman is really not following the majority rule, and therefore Rabbi Eliyahu is no problem. This because he's following the shita of the Rabbanan. Okay, Be'ezus Hashem, we'll pick up with the problem that Maskev Rav Shimi Ben Arda, we'll pick up with that problem that he had, Be'ezus Hashem, tomorrow.